is the Synchronized Universe with Dr. Claude Swanson. As new listeners may not know, I'm a physicist. I've been working 15 years or more studying the paranormal, trying to understand how our Western science can modify itself to begin to understand some of the strange and wonderful things that happen in the paranormal. My book, The Synchronized Universe, you can find on my website, synchronizeduniverse.com, where there's a link from the BBS radio website. I'll be doing a book signing in Los Angeles at the Bodhi Tree, January 29th at 3 p.m. So anyone in the Los Angeles area, I look forward to seeing you there. My website has more details. Tonight, it's my pleasure to interview Sherry Edwards, who is a fascinating researcher in the, well, I guess she's kind of pioneered her own area of bioacoustics. So let me welcome Sherry Edwards to the show. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening. I'm very honored to be on it. Read your book reviews. That's just incredible.
Well, I'm delighted to talk to you. You have you're one of these people I really was looking forward to talking to even before I thought of having you on the show. You're really doing some interesting things. Would you talk a little bit about how you got started in this area and what kind of prompted you to kind of pioneer this new area of bioacoustics?
Well, I don't remember not being in it ever. It just didn't have a name.
Uh-huh.
I remember hearing sounds from very early on and not knowing that not everyone did. And because of the language, for instance, my husband would say, well, how's this grapefruit? And I would say, well, sounds good to me, meaning it was a very nice note of E. And he thought, well, that sounded like a good idea. But until I was working in the speech and hearing department at Ohio University and trying to finish a few degrees among having babies and a family and trying to grow up, I found out that hearing sound was an illness. And not only did I hear sounds, but I heard symphonies and music and songs in my ears that other people weren't hearing. So I thought immediately, oh, I'm really ill. So I ran down to the clinic to have my hearing tested, and was very lucky that the gentleman testing my ears was a student of the Samurai Warriors, had high blood pressure, and was very interested in starting a family. And when he was testing my ears, he came into the little soundproof booth, and he said, what are you hearing? Your hearing is off the scale.
Wow.
And so I did a sound for him that I just heard and sang as part of my everyday repertoire of living that people liked, and he nearly fell to his knees. He felt his blood pressure drop, and he said, I think what you are hearing is the sound that samurai warriors do right before they attack an opponent that's designed to reduce the blood pressure.
Wow.
And he was on high blood pressure medication, and that rendered him impotent. They wanted to start a family, and he wanted to know if he could use sound to reduce his blood pressure so that they didn't have the side effects.
Mm-hmm.
So he and his wife and I set up this project. I was really lazy about it. I needed a senior project to graduate, and if he was going to help me put together one, I was going to let him.
Absolutely.
So the School of Nursing and the School of Music and Speech and Hearing Sciences all went together and did this project and found out that I could hear sounds coming from people's ears. And when I duplicated that, their heart and their brain sort of went into sync.
Wow.
And it caused a relaxation and a peacefulness and a healing. And we really didn't have any physiological way for that to be happening or any understanding of it, even though we could reduce people's blood pressure by as much as 20 points, and sometimes in opposing directions, which meant that we could probably do a lot of damage to someone's blood pressure.
So you could raise it or lower it then?
Yes, and we could do it in opposite directions.
What do you mean opposite directions?
Well, the systolic and diastolic is supposed to go up and down in tandem, and
we could
make one go up and the other go down simultaneously, which is just really not a good thing. I mean, you could probably kill somebody doing that if you did it to
But you could raise the high one and lower the low one.
Yes.
Wow.
So it just snowballed from there. I didn't know what I was doing. I tried to give it away to a lot of people because I certainly didn't know anything about it. I tried to give it away to Robert Monroe, and he didn't want it. And So I just kind of got stuck with it, and in the last 20, 25 years, have just found out a lot of things about the human body, the human voice, and what happens to the body when it hears frequencies. And to discover that there is a math matrix that dictates who and what we are and what we think and how we communicate with each other and our universe is kind of where it's led me.
This is so fascinating, and it's such a huge field. It just seems to go in all directions. Let me ask you a couple of specific questions. Like when they measured your hearing, what is off the chart? So like how low and how high? Is it going both directions off the charts?
I have low frequency loss and high frequency gain. Everyone has an otoacoustic emission that's above about 60,000. We can hear up to about 20,000. But you have an otoacoustic emission that's above normal hearing.
Now, what does that mean, otoacoustic emission?
There is a sound coming out of your ear that no one can really explain. And they're using it for a diagnosis of liver disease and hearing problems and vision. It's all over PubMed that they're using this for diagnostics.
Huh.
Wendell Brown sort of started the idea out of Johns Hopkins University.
So, I mean, everyone's ears emit the sound?
Yes.
Good Lord.
And if your sound, this sounds so esoteric.
Huh?
If your sound is very close to what the astrologers will say your sound is supposed to be, then they make this leap that somebody is on the right path.
Huh.
There's only a certain amount of sounds, sequences, and harmonics. And so they've astrologers divided them all up into different ranges for people born on different days. And I really didn't believe in any of that.
Uh-huh.
And the secretary came to me and said, Sherry, you know, this matches people's astrology 40% of the time. And I said, Sandy, get out of my face. I don't believe in that stuff. And she came back and she said, you know, not only does it match 40% of the time their birthday, but their opposite or their color complement. And are you going to deny 80%? So she knew where to get me. Numbers fascinate me. And so we started looking at it, and there's about an 80% correlation.
First of all, I want you to know I'm getting goosebumps right now just hearing you say this, okay? And I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But let me ask you, so this otoacoustic emission, I mean, can you measure this with normal sound?
Absolutely.
Devices.
They have equipment, very sophisticated computers that measure this, and they're doing it now for newborns to test their hearing.
So if you have like a high-frequency microphone and the right kind of tape recorder, you could actually record this sound and study it. And
absolutely.
Good Lord.
You know, it's a wire. You have to be really, really still, and they put this wire in your ear. But the otoacoustic emission is in your vocal print. When they do it by ears, we do it by voice. And we take 24 out of a possible 100,000 points off your vocal print, and 100% of the time, and this was independently substantiated, 100% of the time, the otoacoustic emission is one of the 24 notes that we pulled off as significant in your voice.
So when you just record my voice or anyone else's voice, you can look at like the spectrum, the frequencies in the voice, and you look for certain places where it's stronger or weaker to find these lines, or what do you look for?
We are looking at 0 to 1,000 cycles per second by frequencies, but more importantly is the architecture. We can tell whether or not you've been exposed to a pathogen, a toxin, whether you have an inflammation, whether you've just stubbed your toe and you have some kind of trauma. The architecture tells us much more than just the frequencies, although the frequencies give us ranges.
So architecture is something more sophisticated than just frequency? It's something more complicated than that?
Absolutely. You can have a triangle in your voice. And depending on what that triangle, high-peaked triangle, looks like, if it has one thick side and one thin side, it's a toxin. If it has two thick sides, it's an inflammation. So that architecture of how your voice lays down in a voice spectral analysis is very important. And we only use 30 seconds of your voice. We probably could use less, but we just want to make sure we get everything by talking to you about different things.
I think what is kind of blowing me away already, I thought I'd be blown a little later on in the interview, but not so early. But what's amazing, I mean, you know that the work that Virginia Hahn and Rosalind Bruyere did, you know, measuring the chakras and sort of the subtle energy system of the body, and they put little electrodes on the different chakra points, and they found certain frequencies, and each chakra had its own particular frequency. And they also found that there were certain colors. I guess she was probably just looking with her eyes, with her subtle vision, at the chakras. But so matching up colors with these measurable, you know, electromagnetic frequencies at the chakras, and sort of finding that these associations exist. And one of my pet theories for quite a while, you know, is that astrology works because there is an effect on our subtle energy body, our auras, if you like, you know, that the positions of the planets somehow affect our subtle energy system, the life energy of the body. And what you seem to be saying is there's also an acoustic part that is coupled to that somehow. So this, your ears emit a frequency that tells you about the subtle energy system of the body. I mean, is that going too far, do you think? Or?
That's absolutely correct. And when you look at some of the work that Motorola is doing in testing some of the frequencies that come from outer space to our Earth, they're in a pattern. They're in a 24-hour pattern, a 30-day pattern, a yearly pattern, and it's all frequency. And you can make a frequency, light frequency, sound frequency, kinetic frequency, smell, and when you take it all down to the numbers, to the frequency, then that's where everything syncs, including alphabets and music and language and elements and chemistry and on and on and on. Rainbows.
So we're kind of on the verge of developing and understanding a real theory of how subtle energy works and how it couples in with life processes, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Just as there are elements in a whole system of chemistry, there are a system of sound and a whole field of sonistry.
So now
I just invented a new word.
Sounds good to me.
When you realize that the commonality to everything is frequency, and frequency is absolute in how it reacts by its mass. In every language, one and one is two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you just can't get away from that in any kind of formulations that you're looking for in the body. The body reacts just as if it was mass all along. For instance, your body makes hyaluronic acid, which is the fluid in your joints, by combining vitamin A and proline. And when you take the frequencies of vitamin A and proline and add them together, it equals the frequency for hyaluronic acid. And I didn't make that up. It's all based on molecular weight.
Wow.
It's astounding.
So the frequency, there's a correlation, a direct correlation between the molecular weight and the frequency?
Not exactly direct, but just almost.
Okay.
There's a little tweak in there.
Uh-huh. Well, now, I guess one question is, I mean, say if you have two people that have the same disease, will you pick up the same frequency departures or anomalies for both people?
As an average, yes, but we just did a whole series of cancer. And some people have cancer from toxicity, from genetics, from Krebs cycle, from ammonia, and from vitamin B2. And you can look at their chart and see just exactly how the cancer was funneled into the position it is right now.
By looking at the frequencies that show up?
By looking at their vocal print.
Wow.
And looking at the harmonics of the vocal print.
Now let people know a little bit about what you're located in Ohio. Is that right, Sherry?
Yes, Southern Ohio. Nowhere, Ohio.
And your website is sherryedwards.com. Is that the primary website?
Yes, and it's Sherry with an A.
It's Sharry Edwards.com.
Right.
And is that the best way to reach you, or is there a way that you prefer people to contact
really
you?
Really, email is better, because I can answer that in the middle of the night.
Okay.
So it's soundhealth@soundhealth.org.
soundhealth@soundhealth.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy to remember. Okay. And what about the training? You've been training people. If most people don't have your hearing, how do you train people to do what you do?
Well, I do people who are unconscious and animals and babies and people who don't have a voice. But we have created a computer program that can take your vocal print digitally, and there's some certain ways you need to do it. And a lot of people send it in to us. A lot of doctors take them at their office and send it to us. We had one doctor last week that a lady couldn't process calcium. So he sent a vocal print, and you could see that copper and molybdenum were very unbalanced. So we sent that word back, and he tested her, and sure enough, her oxalic acid, she was eating too much spinach, and it was interfering with her ability to use calcium. So the vocal print will tell you that, and we take that on a computer, 30 seconds, two vocal prints, and you can send them right on the Internet. And the next part is learning to use the computer programs. Anybody can do a voice spectral analysis and send it to us. Mm-hmm. But the vocal profiling, using these computer programs to say, that fits with this, and this fits with that, and here's a harmonic. And then we have a whole group of templates. Like right now we're doing a project on fibromyalgia. So we know what's causing fibromyalgia, and we just run people's voice through it and say, your fibromyalgia is because your cells are oxygenating lactic acid. And we give them back the frequency. It takes about 20 minutes, and their pain goes away. And I know that's really hard to believe, but it happens.
Well, now, is fibromyalgia have many different causes, or does it tend to be a single?
It has a lot of different causes. It can be a bacterial infection in the joints, can be too much iron, can be the Krebs cycle, can be trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of different reasons, but we can pinpoint it through these templates.
And so when you give them a frequency, how do you do that? I mean, is that like a tone?
Just in the air through a speaker. We give back analog sound. Robert Becker states in his book Cross Currents that the body perceives and heals itself in analog fashion. And we have tried to use digital. It just doesn't get the same effect. You get some effect, but you just don't get the regrowth of tissue and that kind of thing that we're seeing by using analog sound presentation. We have a little computer that we've invented, a computer-like device, I should say. And we have a lot of specialty ones, like a back box for back pain and something to take out gout and something for muscle cramps, those kinds of things that we're running trials now on.
So the computer device generates the tone that they need?
Set it for about 400 different tones.
And is this something you sort of keep with you and play it frequently? Or
you can, or they can play it overnight if they'd like.
Wow.
Like the snore one. People usually play that one overnight.
This is so exciting. Well, how much do you... I mean, we've talked about subtle energy, but I guess the question is there all... But you also mentioned molecular weight. I mean, is there some... How much do we understand about the source of this sound? I mean, is the DNA somehow involved in making this frequency, or do we understand what's making it?
Well, James Cohen has looked into this in environmental acoustics. We know that it's not how long or round the ear canal is. We know it's not really the stapes muscles. It could be the vibrations of the hair follicles. But what I think it is the brain is then sitting in this bucket of fluid and it's vibrating. And I think that otoacoustic emission is the average of everything that your brain is doing at once. You have about 144,000 miles of nerve fibers for every 150 pounds of body weight. And all of that feeds back to its central processing unit, the brain. And I think the noise it makes, that's what's coming out of the ear. And I also think, and I can't prove it yet, but the interruptions in that sound is how we assign meaning to words and inflection.
The interruptions in the sound that is being generated by the ear?
Yes. So we have this otoacoustic emission coming out about 18 inches or so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that tells you if you're sitting beside somebody, they're really hearing what's going on. And privacy really is an illusion.
Well, now, most of us can't consciously hear this sound. I mean, you...
That's
you,
true.
You, but you can, is that right? You
can hear I this? Can.
So
and I think that's what animals are hearing.
So does your hearing then go up to 60,000 cycles?
Not quite.
Okay.
But it's in that range. I'm really not allowed to discuss it.
Okay, all right.
they think it's something proprietary or whatever. But
okay, well, I won't ask any more about that. But it's,
you
it
mentioned
must be
teaching.
Distracting,
we're out here teaching people to do this purely selfishly on my part, because I have too much work to do.
What's it like when you go out into an airplane terminal or a bus station? Do you hear all these tones from everyone bombarding you?
I do. It's really hard.
Uh-huh.
So I go to the grocery in the middle of the night. And, and you can tell things about people, but you really can't talk about them because they are so private.
Mm-hmm.
Like who's pregnant and who's not getting along with who. And so in my own hometown, a lot of people will cross the street when they see me coming. But I think that's kind of egotistical because I really don't mind who or what they are. It just they just are.
Well, have you ever stood next to a healer while he's working on a patient and noticed what's happening with the sounds?
We have, and we've also taken vocal prints.
Okay.
Of people who do Reiki. We take separate vocal prints, and then after the session, the vocal prints are almost identical.
The vocal prints of the healer and the patient?
Yes. So they've kind of mind-melded and sort of matched each other.
Well, do you hear a sound that the healer is generating then that is sort of helping to heal the patient? Is it sort of equivalent to what you do but maybe unconscious on the part of the healer?
I think so. I think we just found a way to make a computer do it, and that's where it's going to step into science and quit being esoteric that people put it in as a genre of faith healing. It really isn't. They're tapping into some energy system and changing it.
Wow.
And we don't exactly know how.
But so when you stand next to a healer during a Reiki session, let's say, you can hear the tones from the healer suddenly change as they're doing the healing?
Well, it sort of mellows out from a to a kind of sound.
Wow.
It's more of an attunement than a change.
They're
just giving tune-ups, is all.
This is just really amazing. This is so exciting what you're doing. Now, you've written some books, I take it, about your work, is that right?
We've written lots of articles. I've been asked to do several books, but every time I get a book in mind, something else comes up and a whole new piece comes in, and so all that stuff's old, and like right now, we've decoded all the bird flu sounds.
Oh, really?
So we're meeting with government officials this week, as a matter of fact, because I think this big scare is unnecessary. We have seen that we can not only pinpoint what the pathogen is, but we can look at it genetically as it comes in the body before it sets up housekeeping and starts to be pathogenic, and we can watch it mutate. We could do this with a cold and flu and chlamydia, pneumonia, and Epstein-Barr, so why not extrapolate and do it for the bird flu? Now, I don't have a weight room where I can take these kinds of really dangerous pathogens and work with them, but that's what we're going to talk to the government about. I don't think the bird flu panic needs to happen because there could be some kind of central facility that everyone could jump on their computer, get their print, send it to the central processing unit, and it could tell you whether you've been exposed, particularly if it was a large area or a large building and everyone came back with the same frequency. You would know if there's some kind of exposure in that building. We turn around, make an antidote, shoot it right back into the building, and most of the time it will extremely shorten the duration of any kind of problem.
Wow, that's really wonderful. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, suppose you're an average American like me, for example, and you're concerned about this, and maybe you're not too optimistic that the government's going to, jump on these ideas right away, and you kind of want to have your own solution. Can you buy the software and your little sound generator and kind of do your own diagnosis and generate your own cure, or does it have to go through your headquarters to be able to do that?
No, almost anyone can take our classes and get the information and do it for themselves.
Mm.
We would like to see bioacoustic centers all over the world. We just don't have the funds to do that. If we did, I would have had this already online for people when SARS came up, when ricin came up, when any kind of flu came up.
Now, what does your class cost?
The week class is $4,400, and that includes all your, I think, five or six computer programs and your books and videos and microphone and tone box. And so you can walk out being able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Classes are very limited. I'm very picky about taking small groups so that I'm absolutely sure they know what they're doing. But we also want to set up satellite classes all over the country. And we do have some free classes for the people who just want to do vocal profiling. Let's say somebody wants to see if they have heart disease. There's a template for that. And they can take that class instruction for free. It's on the Internet. We've had the nutrition program online for free, which is looking at your nutrition every day and seeing what you need. And we've had the muscle program online. The next one coming up is the heart program. But we give that to people for 30 days to see if they can do it, if they're interested in doing it, for them to raise money to come to class. We want this to be a win-win situation, and we think everybody has a right to good health and to self-health.
This is so exciting. So what's the possibility? You mentioned Internet classes and maybe having even say putting your sound print on the Internet and then coming back with later on with an analysis. I mean, is that something that could be in the near future, or how?
Everything is sitting here to do this except the funds.
And
it
would be online
if we had the funds.
Okay, so it's a matter of developing the software to be able to handle the online interaction, basically. Is that
right? Everything can be done here manually. Mm-hmm. And over the Internet, but it's all manual. We get the vocal print, we take it off the computer, we put it in this computer, and it could be done automatically. Mm-hmm. We just need to hire the people to do it. And if there's enough people that want to do this fibromyalgia project, we'll come out to Colorado and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or there is a doctor there in Colorado Springs that helps us out, some Dr. Silberroot, that would probably do some of these trials for fibromyalgia for people there, if they're interested.
This is Bob Silberroot?
Yes. I haven't spoken to him yet, so I may be overstepping my bounds yet.
I met him at a meeting a few weeks ago, and I have a couple of his books. Yeah, he's an interesting person. Yeah.
He's doing some MS work with frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And we have reversed MS with this and even regrown nerve fibers. We have a Dr. Russ Rudy that we've been following for 7 months now, and he's regrown the nerves from the waist down.
Sherry, how much of this ability to find these frequencies to be able to do the healing, how much of that at this point is based on your unique, acoustic talent, and how much of it is kind of automated that a computer can do it, I mean, at this point?
Most of it now is automated, but for instance, the muscle frequencies, that all came from me touching someone and doing the frequency vocally. And then putting that back in the computer and sort of munching around and seeing what was going on with it. We've been very lucky to have a couple of tetraplegics, which means they don't have neck or arms and legs, where they have been nearly dead-muscled all over. And they've allowed me to experiment. One young boy, he got beat up in a very senseless gang beating, and it tore the brain away from the inside of the head, and he was in a coma for a year and a half, and we got him about 4 years after that, and he was tied to a wheelchair, and he walked last summer, and it is just so rewarding to see that.
That's amazing.
It just gives me chills every time. He can butterfly 40 pounds. He's finished 2 years of college. His eyes work together now. He can open and close his mouth. He can eat. He's beginning to talk on absolutely dead vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
And because of him and him allowing me to touch him in certain places, even up his nose, we've been able to get the frequencies to come back alive for muscles. It's my talent. It's dedicated people like Willie who let us use his body. And it's the great computer programmers who are willing to work with me and watch me change my mind all the time. because, oh, that worked and that didn't, and we need this range. And so it's just a great group of dedicated people have been able to manifest this on the planet. And it's just now going public because we've just now found the physiological way that it's happening, and we've never had that before. So we always got stuck in that esoteric genre. So now we have the physiological explanations, and people are willing to listen.
And when you say the physiological explanation, is that in terms of the brain vibrations, or how would you characterize that physiological explanation?
Well, people don't understand how the voice can manifest the what's going on in the body. How it could be a holographic representation.
Mm-hmm.
But when you begin to look at the 10th cranial nerve, the vagus nerve, it has two bundles, a sympathetic and a parasympathetic nerve system.
Okay, I'm not very good on anatomy, but the 10th cranial nerve?
Yeah, you have cranial nerves where there's openings that go from the body into the spine and up to the brain.
Okay, so in the back of the head, basically?
Well, and down the spine.
Okay, down the spine, okay.
Yeah, the 10th cranial nerves go up through the diaphragm.
Okay.
And attach, you know, your heart and whatever else is going on.
Okay.
But within that parasympathetic nerve bundle, which regulates everything that happens to your body, is the recurrent laryngeal nerve. And that runs your vocal cords.
Okay.
So everything that's keeping your body in stasis is running through that nerve bundle and affecting your vocal cords.
Hmm.
And people know when people are upset or sarcastic. And when you think about it, people knew about this all along. Young men going through puberty, their voice changes in response to chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So why not take it a step further and say the entire body can change in response to chemicals?
Okay.
And they do this with bird whistles and dolphins and whatever sounds they make. They look at their chemistry. Why can't we do it for humans? Hence, human bioacoustics.
Wow. So because all the nerves kind of pass near or through this laryngeal nerve system, they all kind of give their little clues as far as what might be going wrong? Is that?
Yeah, it's a direct connection from the vocal cords to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just wrote a foundational thesis on this, and it's been put online under the Journal of Bioacoustic Biology,
Journal
and it's free.
A little slower. Journal of Bioacoustic
Biology. So it's J,
okay.
B as in boy, A-B, JBAB.org.
Okay.
And you can look at how this can be diagnostic.
Okay.
If we look at the otoacoustic emission from the ear,
okay.
And if it is diagnostic, and the vocal print, the 24 points we pull off, is one of the sounds that's coming from the ear, then it also can be diagnostic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And all of that's explained in this article. It gives the history, the physiology, how the language is really math and how it speaks to the brain and how the brain speaks math and how we just tapped into that.
Wow. You know, I've been working on a book for a few months on subtle energy, and I was going to write a chapter about some of the new devices and technologies that are kind of appearing in many different places. And one thing I noticed is that so many of them are based on frequencies. You know, they have like specific frequencies for, you know, for diseases. And I got baffled by what the mechanism was that connected a certain disease with a certain frequency. And tonight, you're explaining it to me.
That's great. It's hard to explain.
And I think you're the only person I've heard who actually has an explanation. One that makes sense anyway.
I've been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, have you made a map? I mean, do you have sort of a map of what frequency matches up to what type of physical problem? Is that
absolutely.
Possible? Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. The C and B are heart issues, except in California. They end up being AIDS issues. We do this for the movie characters now. We teach this at the university. So if you've got this great big strapping football player that in the beginning is a hunk and tough and at the end has AIDS, then we, using a soundboard, will take C and B out of their voice and the audience will believe the guy has AIDS.
So these are the certain tones. C and D, the
notes. Well, those are
the,
notes, like Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Si, Do.
Uh-huh.
But everything has a certain range. So if we look at C, that's strength, that's courage, that's muscle courage. D is liver, gallbladder, pancreas. E is your lungs. F is kidneys. G is how you use your minerals and enzymes. A is how the body uses its resources.
Mm-hmm.
B is how it circulates the resources. So that's a generalization. That stuff's on our website, and people can pull it down for free.
Okay. That's on the SherryEdwards.org?
Mm-hmm. And if they don't have a website, they could give us a call, and we'll send it to them.
Okay. This is so incredibly mind-boggling.
You know, we went to NIH recently with the fibromyalgia box, and we were meeting with some of the people, and one of them was sitting there, and they just wanted to see what we were doing and sort of check out the devices. And one of them put the device on, and he was trying to be very neutral. They were all trying to be neutral.
Yeah.
And he was moving his hand, and he said, "This box is magic," because all of his pain went away. He had a finger that wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
But he said, "Nobody is going to believe this. Nobody's going to believe that this frumpy little housewife from southern Ohio, which is in the middle of nowhere, could have come up with this. Because you have a diagnostic component and you have a treatment component. And that just has never been done before. And we don't even have a name or a place to put you."
But
I think it's because I was uneducated. I lived in a corn crib. I didn't have electricity.
Now, are you exaggerating here?
No. Until I was six, we lived in a corn crib with no electricity.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's how I began to listen and hear these sounds. And I think the rest of you are kind of disadvantaged.
We probably are.
But when there wasn't anything, we lived in the hills, there wasn't a radio or newspapers or books or anything else, so my playmates were the trees and the flowers and the vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned, I think, a different kind of attachment or communication. And I think from that, from being able to hear this and being able to touch muscles and being able to put this in a system. And I probably could have made millions just doing this for people, touching them and telling them things about themselves, but it would have died when I died.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to leave something. I wanted to make a difference.
Yeah.
And so we put it into a computer so anybody could do it.
Yeah.
And we teach people, and it's all over the world now. It may be a little quiet, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I realized that I could not do this from the top down. I could not go to the FDA and pay millions to have this looked at. So I started this groundswell, this hundredth monkey effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out and talked to people one group at a time. And now it's there, and other people are following it and using it, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out there, and it's not going to die. Some of the people we have, if the police came and tried to take away their little tone boxes, they would fight.
Uh-huh.
because it keeps them healthy. It keeps them out of pain.
It works.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
And someday, somebody's going to catch on to what we're really doing and take it to the public, and it's just going to go boom.
It seems like you could have these little things at Radio Shack, you know, and you could, like, you know, if you mass produce them, it could be fairly inexpensive, you know, someday. You know?
But they're digital. You know, if we had millions and we could get a big manufacturing plant, we could probably do this really, really cheaply, but we're doing them in my garage.
Yeah.
but we get a lot of publicity from the people that we work with. We did 3 fibromyalgia clients, I need to say, and now we're just overrun with people who are in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care how we do it.
Well,
they
just
care that they're not in pain.
Fibromyalgia is so epidemic these days. I mean, everyone seems to have it, you know, and no one knows what to do about it. That's it's just everywhere.
I see a big relationship to wheat allergies.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
With it, and I really would like to talk to the food people, but I just don't want to get myself in trouble.
Yeah, because wheat's in everything, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. But we take people off wheat for 3 days,
uh-huh.
And it's astounding.
Yeah.
What happens to their children.
Well, I've noticed that with myself. Because if I go off wheat, the same thing happens to me. I've noticed that the pain in the joints goes away and things like that. Yeah. I was reading Bruce Lipton's book recently, and he talks a lot about frequencies, I guess, and he says that the problem with the American medical establishment is they all have a certain model for how the body works, how biology works. It's kind of a chemical model. And, that explains some things, but there's a lot it does not explain. He even says that our chemistry that doctors learn is kind of like pre-quantum mechanics. So he even leaves out quantum mechanics, which is 75 years old in physics. And so they're missing a lot. Their models are just antiquated, and that's a real liability when it comes to trying to understand something new, because the first thing you have to do is forget all the old stuff that you learn in medical school or in biology class, you know?
He is brilliant and so sweet and so humble. He's one of my favorite people on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a neat person. He really is.
Can you let me do your sound? Would you allow that?
Well, with some trepidation, sure.
Well, we'll probably just get close.
Okay. What should I do?
Your sound is between a G and a G sharp. It's kind of a turquoise and orange kind of color. So you probably have some liver issue kind of thing. Do you want to get personal?
Okay.
What's your cholesterol like?
I don't know. It's probably high, but I don't really know.
It feels like the use of minerals, and I really would like to get your print. Can I send you instructions on how to get your print?
Sure, you may certainly, of course. Uh-huh.
Okay, I've got your email. I'll do that.
Okay.
Let me see if I can figure this up mathematically, what it was. We can go ahead talking while I'm doing this. I just need to find a calculator.
So you said a G and a G sharp, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. About halfway.
Yeah, it's funny because when you make that sound over the phone, it does kind of, it has a very strange effect on me. It does really, you know, it has an effect that's strange. I can't tell you what it is, but it's a peculiar feeling. It's interesting.
Well, some people describe it as a moment at a time that, like, everything else goes away.
Uh-huh.
Some people feel it as a little tingling from inside out.
Mm-hmm. And I guess your voice, you said that when your voice was first analyzed, you were able to produce pure sine waves. Is that right?
Yes. I have different harmonics than most humans. The harmonics of my voice are that of a dolphin.
Wow. So does that mean that you have higher harmonics then? Or?
I have...
Or you control your harmonics?
I have harmonics that are six away instead of five away.
Huh. Like the sixth harmonic then?
Well, yeah, instead of like being... I'm trying to think of one while I'm... Here, instead of C-sharp and G-sharp, which is like five notes away, depending on which we go,
mm-hmm.
mine are C-sharp and G, six notes away on a scale.
Wow.
So it just has a different effect on people. And somebody sweet just handed me a calculator. So I've got the computer here. I can probably figure this out.
I don't want to mess up your calculation, but one of the questions I was also going to ask is, if you've ever been in contact with dolphins and what happens when you are.
Yes, and it's kind of strange. One of the things I hear dolphins doing is scanning you on an entire range, and then they can hear you giving a sound back. They're interrupting this otoacoustic emission, and that's what they send you. It's just, I was just stunned.
Well, are they trying to heal, or are they more just trying to communicate?
It's just a form of communication because that's the frequency you're giving out. So you give out a kinetic frequency. You give out this frequency out your ear. Everything is a frequency. When you bring color and vision into your eyes, it's changed into electrical chemical energy sent to the brain in a certain range of frequency, and the brain says, I received something in that range. I'm going to interpret that as visual input. Same thing with your ears, about 20 to 20,000 cycles per second, and your olfactory sense and your kinetic sense. It all comes in at a range that the brain then identifies what it is. So it's all frequency. Your body communicates with frequency and the way we explain it to each other is math.
Wow. I'm stunned, very honestly.
You're stunned?
Well, you know,
credentials. I've stunned you.
Well, because, you know, people throw around the word frequency, but they don't usually mean anything very precise by it. You know, they're not able to actually link it up very precisely with things. But you can. I mean, you actually have a way of relating specific frequencies to specific meanings, and you're able to analyze it. And, you know, I mean, there's actually structure so that you understand frequency while most people just kind of talk about it.
Well, thank you.
You're
welcome. We've also created a computer program that can analyze your emotions.
Hmm.
So that's going to be out very shortly, within the next couple of months, so that you can look at the depth of people. And it's all based on the frequencies, not really what you're saying, but the frequency ranges in your voice.
Now,
look at this. I just got your numbers up on the computer.
Uh-oh.
And it comes up gluten.
Gluten, okay.
Gluten, which is the part of wheat that everybody's allergic to.
Uh-huh.
And there's a hip thigh thing in the lower back.
Okay.
Cytochrome C, which is probably some iron thing, and protease, digestion, gracilis. I'll send this off to you.
Okay, great.
You said just going off wheat, so what I heard from you was the gluten, the part that causes people problems.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was a very specific frequency.
Wow.
It was 40% less than G-sharp.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I'm just amazed by this. Now, let me ask one more question. What about the changes? I mean, there's one scientist whose name is escaping me right now, but maybe you know him, who analyzes music in terms of the emotional content of the music. And he's found that the human voice also, it's a shift of tone or a shift of a volume that conveys various emotions, and there's also a connection between these shifts and the chakras. And I wondered if you look at some changes of tone as someone is speaking, if you ever notice some time variations in these tones, and if there's some information there.
Absolutely. And when someone's amplitude, there's frequency modulation and amplitude modulation. And when the amplitude modulation goes, they're lying or they're in a state of denial or stress.
Hmm.
So absolutely, you can see that in their print. Music is usually given to you in a range of hearing above probably 60 to 80 cycles per second is probably the lowest note you're going to hear unless it's some Tibetan thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we go down to very low sounds. Like if we want to put the heart back into rhythm, it's 3 cycles per second. And you really can't hear that. So we have to create a formula that's in a normal hearing range for us to speak to the bundle of hiss. And that's a known property that it vibrates at 3 cycles per second.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use 2 numbers in a special formulation, and you can put the heart back into rhythm.
Wow.
So we use a whole range that's slightly different from music.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's a CD or music that's not live, there has to be some carrier, and that interferes too. Most right and whole brain people hear that interference pattern. I certainly do. And it's like a carrier wave. You and I talking on this phone is digital. But if you and I were talking in this room together, that's analog.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you can recognize my voice, it'll sound a little different if we're in the same room with each other.
Now, let me ask you a different question. This is one of my pet subjects, I guess. Maybe because I'm a Capricorn and I'm kind of grounded, I've never really had a real out-of-body experience, okay? And I would kind of like to, and I will get around to it probably at some point. And I've gone to Monroe Institute a couple times and spent a week there each time and had a couple of little things. But I'm kind of curious, with all the technology that you have you ever looked at how your understanding of frequencies could be more effective? Because the hemi-sync tapes that Bob Monroe, of course, help people to kind of get into some of these lower frequency brainwave states.
Mm-hmm.
But do some of the things that you do also impact that?
Absolutely, and it's the way the frequencies are put together. Most of the time, people own A sharp, and you have notes, a whole range of notes in your body, but your particular shade of A sharp played back to you will usually put you in an altered state. And if you will listen to the sounds in your ears, and you can amplify them if you get in the bathtub and put your head into the water and listen to the sound, or put a pillow over your ears and listen to the sound of your ears. And you have to be in a state where you're not fearful. If you're really listening well, the first thing will happen is to take a big, deep breath, and your heart and your brain will sink. And that's one of the things that we do. The frequencies we use represent the brain, and the rhythms we use represent the heart. Now, right now, we've designed things to go through the skin, but we've got other rhythms that will go into the liver and the lungs and different parts of the body. But that's the same thing Hemisync's doing, except we're doing it based on your particular, individual, very specific vocal branch.
Well, see, I think I probably do have some fear, and so the next question is, do you have a frequency that will help me with my fear?
I don't know until I look at your chart.
Okay.
But if you're afraid of spiders, and that's the first thing that's going to pop up, and you just go say, hey, take a bite, I'm going on. But it's I have an article online on our site called If You Can Moan, You Can Tone, and it will give people instructions to do this.
Wow.
But your time will distort. You won't be able to feel your body. But you have to be in a pretty safe environment emotionally for you to be able to let go and do it. And sometimes your arm will just move up and feel like it's out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a trip. It's a cheap high.
This is such an exciting area. I just want to compliment you on what an exciting area of knowledge you've pioneered here, Sherry. It's just really, really wonderful. Now, to contact you, the best way is email at soundhealth@soundhealth.com. Is there, what else would you like to tell people before we sign off for tonight?
I would like to intrigue you and to tell you that I'm working on a sound that we know can change the perception of time.
I'm intrigued. I am definitely intrigued.
Well, I wish everybody the best of health, and if anybody wants to join us and learn this, we'll find a way to help them do it.
Great. That's really, really wonderful. Sherry Edwards, thank you so much. And you were named Scientist of the Year, and I think it's really well deserved. And I just want to thank you so much for being our guest tonight on The Synchronized Universe, and we'll see everyone next week. Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.